I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
All right, it's time for Touche. This is the one we've kind of been waiting for the last couple months. The Touche, which we argue about politics every Monday night here in the Download. This one, a big one between the two conventions. Dave Lundy is here. Chris Roebling is out. He's on vacation. In for him, Chris Varonis. He's with he's the principal with Aesop Communications. Chris, thanks for coming in. Thanks for being a part of Touche. Where do we start?
Oh, my God, Justin.
I say we start with the hack. What happened here? So the DNC gets hacked. They blame it on the Russians, as a good American tradition.
Well, just for the record, when this hack was announced in the middle of June, their security consultant blamed it on the Russians. And since then, various government officials have all said, yeah, nobody has questioned whether it was the Russians. So when yesterday Robbie Moak, the campaign manager, went on TV and said, well, you know, the Russians did this and they sent it to WikiLeaks, that was not exactly a stretch, but a lot of people were like, oh, he's blaming it on the Russians. And Donald Trump made a big deal in his tweet. Like, oh, what a joke. They're blaming it on the Russians. Like, dude, it was the Russians.
I heard a ton of people say, though, on social media yesterday, regardless of the hack, regardless of where it came from or who leaked it, somebody wrote these emails, and it's in bad form that what we all thought to be true, the DNC sort of aligning against Bernie Sanders, was accurate.
It was, but here's the thing. Everybody knew that because of the debate schedule. When they schedule debates like at 3 a.m. And, you know, in the middle of the Super Bowl, you kind of knew they were trying to put the thumb on the scale for Hillary. So that's not news. That said, the stupidity of putting some of this stuff into email absolutely boggles the mind. And I could not be happier that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is out.
Yeah. If you want to throw darts at the Republican National Convention, and I'd be one of those guys in terms of how it was organized. This is the worst thing that could happen to Democrats right now. The sitting chairman resigns the day before in shame. But never mind that she took a co-chairmanship with the Hillary for President
honorary
campaign, which is kind of absurd in and of itself. I mean,
honorary.
She gets kicked up to the campaign. So, again, the worst thing that could happen to the Democrats right now is to assuage the Bernie-acts, mm-hmm. Bernie, to reduce the superdelegate count from, I think it was like 750 to 250. Huge. They changed the platform. And now to tear off the scab. Tear it off
right
and remind all the Bernie supporters why they are so furious with the rigged system.
But here's the thing, the rigged system. Here's the thing.
Well, you've got it with the superdelegates.
But these guys, well, the DNC is feckless when it comes to this stuff. I mean, frankly, it shows a lack of faith in their candidate that they didn't think Hillary could handle Bernie. And they schedule these things. I personally, I actually think, and you're going to laugh, and you're going to mock me, and I'm ready for it.
I can't wait.
But I actually think that the Russians actually did us a favor, because Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to go. And she wasn't going to go because Obama didn't feel like dealing with it, and Hillary wasn't going to deal with it in the middle of it. Now, would I have preferred it happen like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Am I glad she's gone?
Someone needs to get Harry S. Truman's plaque, "The Buck Stops Here," out, dust it off, put it on Obama's desk. I put it on Obama.
Oh, it is on Obama.
They knew she was a liability for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
No one wanted to push her out. Obama didn't want to deal with it. So, the chickens have come home to roost.
We're in agreement.
Why though? Why wouldn't Obama want to deal with something like that?
Because he didn't care.
He didn't care. He's out.
He just didn't care. Well, no, I mean, going back the 4 years, he just, look, everybody who knows Barack Obama knows he actually really doesn't care about the politics that much. The Clintons dig the politics. Barack never really liked the politics. They were a means to an end. So I don't think he cared who was in charge of the DNC.
Yeah.
And so everybody was complaining. He's like, ugh, it's not worth my time to deal with it. Now, is that okay? No, because a lot of people do care, and it has impact, particularly down ballot, where the DNC can make a real significant impact, as Howard Dean showed in the 50-state strategy leading up to 2006.
All right, so let's talk about what happened today. The new chair gets up there to start the convention. There's booze. The media's really pulled that out. I've heard that clip 35 times in the last hour and a half. But I mean, is there a lot of discord? I mean, as you mentioned, Chris, I mean, the idea of ripping the scab off right before it starts, there's a lot of energy, tense energy on the floor of the DNC right now.
People talk about how dark and divisive the Republican convention is, and we haven't even started with the Democratic National Convention. So, you know, we were talking, you know, off air that on a hot mic, Jane Sanders, Bernie's wife, came up to him and said, they don't know that your name's going to be put in for nomination. So we don't know what's going to happen.
There's going to be some goofy thing tomorrow.
It could be goofy things. It could be symbolic. It could be real. You could have more booze at the Democratic Convention than you had at the Republican Convention.
I promise you. Hillary Clinton is getting nominated.
But what's it say, though, if she gets up on stage and
winning
and,
ugly?
Yeah, like
she
I
will
mean,
not be. Look, if there are boos, they're going to be at like four dead enders who won't let it go. But tonight is all about making the Bernie folks happy. You know, you got Bernie, you got Elizabeth Warren.
You got Sarah Silverman's on the ticket tonight.
Is she?
Yeah.
Michelle, see, that's an upgrade over Scott Baio.
Yeah, well, you're right. There is something about the idea that tonight is almost progressive night when it comes to the Democratic National Convention. Kind of goofy that they did it on the first night?
No, kind of right that you did it on the first night. Do it, you know, salve the wounds. Make everybody feel a little better. You know, Bernie sent a special email to his supporters today.
It was a text
basically, please don't boo. It's going to make us look really bad. And he's been, honestly, I didn't know what he was going to say on the Sunday show. So I was watching going like, okay.
He did a pretty
good
job.
And he was great. Yeah. Yeah. He said, look, this is, there's nothing more important than defeating, you know, the proto-fascist Donald Trump.
This is the most lukewarm, pathetic, milquetoast endorsement that you've,
well,
you've seen like
out.
In the last 25 years. And, you know, this could be another Ted Kennedy moment.
No.
You know, at the 1980 convention, Ted Kennedy refused to raise arms up with Jimmy Carter, and some people say that was the beginning of the end right there in the 1980 campaign. So we'll see.
But Ted Kennedy hadn't already endorsed Jimmy Carter.
Well, I've been hearing that kind of been pulled back a little bit. I've heard today the saying that the Bernie Sanders press conference and all the sort of quote-unquote endorsement wasn't really an endorsement. It was just a rally to say that she's going to win, so
Even at the endorsement press conference, it was something along the lines of, well, certainly Hillary Clinton has gotten the delegates.
And yeah, no, that was the
endorsement.
That was the endorsement.
I will grant you
candidate.
That.
Bernie as a candidate is kind of like the Gila monster. When he bites down, he won't let go unless you saw off his head.
Oh, this is going to be good. Chris Verones and Dave Lundy in studio. It's Touche. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the convention bounce. Polls came out today. Nate Silver saying that Donald Trump up 10 points.
Boing!
So we'll talk about what that means for what we're going to see at the Democratic Convention, but also what's going to happen after. It's Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right. You go
it's
right.
Touche. Dave Lundy, Chris Verones, and for Chris Roebling tonight. Chris Verones is a principal at Aesop Communications. All right, so let's get to the polling numbers today came out, and there was indeed a convention bounce. The numbers went up for Donald Trump in conventional polls. You're talking 5 or 6 points. And Nate Silver, which is much more analytical and, you know, percentages, looking at 10, almost 10 points. Surprising, because we were talking last week about maybe there wouldn't be bumps from either candidate based on the conventions.
Most candidates get a modest to major bump. I think the biggest might have been with Obama, which was plus 14 in 08. So this is not unexpected. I think just because the Democratic convention is right on top of the Republicans, that Hillary will eat into Trump's bump. But really, I personally just think these bumps, national polling is all meaningless. Really, what matters is these 8 or 9 states, and those polls matter the most.
And what are we seeing out of those 8 or 9? It's too early to tell. I mean, does it seem like they're going to definitely be in play all the way up to November?
Well, I've told all my friends going back 2 weeks. I said, guys, ignore all polling from 3 days before the convention to 3 days after both conventions. Let's see where we are at the end of both conventions to see what the actual bump was. The fact that Donald Trump got a bump, I'm not surprised he got a bump. The night of the convention, I was a little surprised at the Instapoll results. But once you saw that, you knew the bump was coming. It was interesting to see where it came, though. So in college-educated whites, there was zero bump. In fact, he lost 2 points. But among non-college-educated whites, he got like a 10-point bump. And at least I think that was in the CNN poll. And that's really Hillary's challenge. She's now getting 23% of non-college educated whites. That's not going to hold past this week. My guess, and I think I predicted this on the show last week, is that when you get through both weeks, Hillary will have a net plus of 2 or 3. That could be wrong.
You guys are both communications guys. Chris, tell me, I mean, in this case, what do you tell both candidates? I mean, obviously, let's start with the Democrat side. I mean, it starts in a bumpy way for the DNC and everything that happened over the weekend and even today with the boos. You know, what do? Stay with their plan and just try to ride it out till Hillary speaks on Thursday, or did they try to make some change?
If you're the Trump campaign.
Let's say if you're the Clinton campaign. Do you just straight ahead? We'll start with the Clinton.
If you're the Clinton campaign, I think you want to put the focus all on your speakers, and they do have – relative to the Trump lineup, they do have an impressive list. They happen to be the incumbent party, too. So that certainly helps. So there's going to be a lot of day two coverage on these speeches. You've got Michelle. You've got Bernie tonight. So there's going to be a lot of goodwill, a lot of positive sugar and honey coming out of it. I think you bury the Debbie Wasserman Schultz thing. I think she announced today she wasn't going to gavel open. There's still a question about if she's going to gavel close the convention.
No, I think she's gone into protective custody.
Well, you hope she's gone to protective custody.
Darn right,
or
I
witness
do.
Relocation.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so let me ask you the same question, Dave, for the other side, for the Trump campaign. With the stumbles that are happening for the Democrats, do you tell your campaign, do you tell your candidate, keep it tight, keep quiet? What do you tell Donald Trump while this is going on the other side of the aisle?
Well, of course, good luck with that. But I think that the lesson here is what the Democrats did when the Melania plagiarism scandal was exploding. They shut up. Hillary Clinton's campaign, I don't think they said anything for 2 days about the Melania speech. And I'm looking forward, by the way, to hear Michelle Obama's speech in its original form, unfiltered by Melania. I think that if the Trump people were smart, they would just let this thing implode. But it's Donald Trump, and he has no self-control, and so he's been tweeting all day over and over again. And
what
it appears he's going to be live tweeting each of these speeches.
Oh, man. So, Chris, what do you say to Donald Trump in that case?
I think if you're Trump, you make a full-court press to these upset Bernie supporters, these trade deals. They're similar candidates in a lot of ways. They're speaking to real economic dislocation. That's something hardcore Bernie voters have an ear for that others don't. So I think you make it all about trade deals. I think you play up the divisiveness of the Democratic convention. And at the end of the day, you reinforce, I'm the only way forward.
Well, that's what Donald Trump said. I am the light and I'm the, well, whatever he said. It was just a wee bit messianic. The world is going to die unless you let me save you.
Are we going to hear a different tone from the Democrats? I mean, when you think about, are they going to go softer because Trump went hard?
The Republican, you know, yes, Trump got a bump, but I'm sorry, that was the darkest convention speech I've ever heard in my life from a major party contender. Went back and listened to Nixon 68, and Nixon sounded like Pollyanna. So I think you're going to hear a recognition that we have problems, but the focus is going to be on solutions. And the focus is going to be on, look, we have an optimistic future, and we have ways of making that future happen, and here we are. And by the way, I think the Wednesday night when Tim Kaine gets up there and gives his speech, if he does anywhere near as well as he did on Saturday, he's going to blow people away.
Chris,
two things. I agree that Trump has elevated and resurrected the personality cult in a way that Russia and China could never do. But if it was so dark and divisive, Hillary should be running away with this, and yet she's not. And that's probably the very sad, leaky boat that you're in right now, that you have to deal with a Democratic National Committee chair that resigns the day before, and this email snow overhang that just won't go away.
It's like there's leaks and there's leaks.
There's old leaky canoe that you turn over like, I think it still works. Let's put it out there.
Exactly.
That's the DNC.
It's a little cracked, but I think this boat will take us to the promised land.
You sure hope so.
Dave Lundy and Chris Varonis. Chris, thanks for sitting in tonight. Well, we appreciate it. We'll be back with Touche. Dave, we'll hear you tonight in response to Bernie Sanders' speech. And throughout the week, you're going to Philadelphia.
I am.
So we'll check in with you from the convention. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.